tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word. Consider His word. His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is Consider His Word. Today, we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. Join Pastor Arlen Payne as he opens the Bible and helps us consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. What a joy it is to have you join us today, and we hope you'll listen to our program as we continue our study in Psalm 119. What a great chapter of the Bible. Actually, the Psalms weren't chapters, but it was a psalm. What a great psalm in the Scripture, Psalm 119. So we're going to be looking at that. We're going through and studying everywhere in Psalm 119 that it uses the phrase, Thy Word. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. Oh, how David loved the Word of God. And so we're looking at all of the places where he referenced God's Word. Sometimes it's used in different words or different languages, but he loved the Word of God. And so we're looking at every place where he spoke of Thy Word. So go get your Bible, Psalm 119. And join with us there in just a few minutes. I want to tell you about something that I don't mention very often, but I wanted to mention it today. This program is produced in the heart of the Everglades in South Florida. This ministry is located at an Indian reservation, and we'd like to ask you to pray for us. Pray for the Seminole people of South Florida. I pastor a church of Seminole people. People that love the Lord. And so pray for us, if you would. You can visit our website where our church is at www.bigcypress.us. And you'll find a picture of our church there and a little bit about our church here in the Everglades. Also, go check out our website at www.bigcypress.us. That's the church site. The radio site is at considerhisword.org. And so go check that out as well. Some great resources there. You'll find the other programs that have been produced in the past. And in fact, you can go back to the beginning of this series and hear all of these Bible studies on Psalm 119. So let's begin today. Psalm 119, we're beginning now in verse 38. This is about the seventh instance of Thy Word that we found. Psalm 119 and verse 38. The psalmist wrote, "Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear." Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. The word establish means to make it firm or to confirm something. And so he's saying here to confirm thy word unto thy servant, make it firm. To make it firm is when we study the Word of God. How great is your faith in the Word of God? You know, I've heard some people say, well, you know, I believe some of the Bible, but I don't believe all of it. Or they'll say, I believe that God wrote some of it, but maybe not all of it. Listen, all of the Word of God, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is truth. And you must establish it in your heart. Believe the Word of God and trust the Word of God. He goes on in this passage of Scripture and says, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Devoted to thy fear means to reverence God, to respect Him, to be awed by God and His holiness and His righteousness. Leviticus 25, and the second part of the verse says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, for I am the Lord your God." We ought to fear the Lord. The word fear means that we reverence God, that we see him as being awesome. And so he was devoted to worship. He's saying, establish the word of God, that I will worship you and reverence you and make you holy, for God is awesome. It's a word that we use a lot these days, and I think that many people who use it don't even know what it's talking about. When we speak of something awesome, we're talking about something that we see or something that we experience that simply takes our breath away. I think the word is often overused and used for trivial things, but when we stand before the Lord and recognize who he is and how great he is and how wonderful he is, that we stand in awe of him, devoted to his worship and living for him. And a few verses down, we see Psalm 119 and verse 41. The psalmist says, "Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Now here we see the psalmist doing something that he often does, as he cries out to the Lord, seeking God's mercy. God had promised his mercy, and now David comes seeking his mercy. Lamentations 3. Remember, Jeremiah wrote Lamentations in Lamentations 3, in verse 22 and 23. He wrote, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You know, mercy, I've heard it defined this way, that mercy is not receiving what we really deserve. You see, if we were honest about it and truthful about it, we deserve hell. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no one exempt. All have sinned. Everyone has sinned. And if we sit down and look at our life and examine our life, we'll see places where we have fallen short. That's what it means when we say it, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. And so we need God's mercy, and that God would pour out his mercy upon us. Now, mercy and grace go together. So I want to mention here about grace. Grace means that God gives us something that we don't deserve. And by God's grace, he has given us his salvation. And here David mentions that. He said, "Let thy mercies also come unto me. Let thy mercies fall on me." And he's crying out for God's mercy. Certainly David knew his sin and recognized his own sin. And when he says, "even thy salvation according to thy word," he's talking about being rescued, somehow being rescued from his sin. That somehow his sin and the judgment of his sin would not come pouring down upon him. And that's how God's mercy works. God then is merciful toward us. You know why? Because he loves us. He loves you. I think it helps to be reminded every day how much God really loves you. He loves you. Yes, you. And God's heart is toward you and for you. And because he loves you, he wanted to redeem you and bring you unto himself. That's what Jesus said in John 14 when he spoke of John 14, let me quote some of it. He said, "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also." And then later in a verse, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God loved us so much that he poured out his mercy upon us so that we could have salvation. Now, by salvation, the way we say it, to be saved. To be saved from our sin, to be saved from hell. Can you say that you are truly saved? Do you know that for sure? That the day that you die, you have a home in heaven prepared for you, just like Jesus said. The only way that you can be saved is to acknowledge your own sin. Recognize that you are a sinner, that you have sinned before God, and you deserve hell. But by God's mercy, he gives you heaven. That's not automatic. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to put your trust in him. Romans 10 is such a great chapter. Romans 10, it says that with our heart we believe unto salvation, that we trust the Lord and ask him to come into our life and ask him to be our Savior, that we cry out to him. Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. The Bible is so clear and so certain about this. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You've got to believe. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what David is talking about in this psalm. That he would find God's salvation according, he said, to thy word. God had promised it. God promises you heaven by receiving Christ as your Savior. God loves you. He poured out his mercy upon you. Now it's up to you to respond to him. He sent his Son to die on a cross, to die a death you should have died. He paid that price for us. And so now, by faith, we can have eternal life in him. God promised it. It's in his word, and he promises it to you. If you've never received Christ, you must respond to him today. Won't you call upon his name? Our time is gone. Join us again next week when we open the scripture and consider his word.
His word will give you wisdom for tomorrow today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thank you for listening today. Visit our website at www.considerhisword.org. Please pray for this ministry and join us next week when once again we open God's book and consider his word.
Consider his word. Consider his word.